we have been talking about worship. And worship is by far my most favorite subject in the whole Bible. If I had to study one subject for the rest of my life in the Bible, I would choose worship, because there's so much of it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And before we even look at how Jesus worshiped, because that's what we're learning tonight, is how did Jesus worship, because he's our blueprint on how we should live our lives in this world, because he lived as a human, but he lived perfect. And so we can look at him and take his life and try our best to apply our lives the way he did. But it's a really close subject to my heart, because I grew up in a family of worship. By age 7, I'd been taught how to do a quiet time. And by age 9, we were doing all-night worship sessions at my house. My parents would open their house, and whoever in the church wanted to come and worship would be able to come. And we'd spend 3, 4, 5 hours in worship. So as a child, I grew up like this. So it wasn't uncommon for me to be in a setting of worship like tonight. And when I say worship, I mean singing songs. But I'm going to go into that a little bit more later. But tonight, we are going to look at how Jesus worshiped. And, if you look at Genesis, you will see that Noah worshipped and Abraham worshipped. And if you go through every book of the Bible, you will find that there is always someone who is worshipping. So it must be quite important to God. The actual topic itself must be really important, because he wrote a whole book to the Israelites telling them how to worship in detail. And Dan spoke about that 2 weeks ago on, sacrificial worship and why it was important. And if you haven't listened, I encourage you to listen to Dan's message to try and understand that. But before I even say that, I do want to read something that I heard recently. And it's a book I'm reading called The Air I Breathe by Louis Giglio. I think he is known in this country because I've seen him here. So he says this. He says, "You are a worshiper. We are all worshippers, created to bring God glory and pleasure. It is what we were made to do. Worship is simply about value. Think of it this way. It is our response to what we value most. It's the thing you put first, whether it's your family, career, a thing. Worship tells what you value most." As Louise spoke about last week, what is worth your affection, your attention, and your allegiance? Worship is our response to God for who he is and for what he has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. It's a whole life response to God's greatness. So I just thought that was amazing to set the tone of what worship is and why it's important. So, tonight's topic, how did Jesus worship? And when I started looking into this in detail, I couldn't find Jesus saying, okay, for you to worship, you need to sing 5 songs, make sure that there's a slow song and there's a fast song, make sure you clap your hands, make sure you raise your hands. There was none of this. He didn't actually talk about worship very much. He did, but not in the sense of the way God outlined worship in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's not huge indications of what Jesus exactly did. So I started seeking God, and I was like, Lord, what am I going to say? How do I know how Jesus worshipped? What did he do to actually show this life of worship? And I found the answer. Well, this is what the Lord told me. So I'm going to open, if you open your Bible to Mark chapter 1. So, is it there? Yes. Okay. So Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says this. It says, "Now in the morning," this is referring to Jesus, "having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Okay, scripture number 2, Luke 9, verse 18. I know I'm skipping scriptures quite quickly, so Luke 9, 18. It says, "And it happened, as he was alone praying," let me read it from that translation, "once when Jesus was praying in private, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say I am?'" So scripture number 2. So scripture number 3 is Luke 6, verse 12. Sorry, I know I'm skipping scriptures here, but there is a reason. Okay. "Now it came to pass in those days that he went," this is referring to Jesus again, "that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Now, God gave me one of my answers this week on how Jesus worshipped. Because as you know, as Louise tells you every single week, Michael and I are getting married. And as a result of us getting married, we are doing marriage prep. I've been telling everyone we're doing marriage counseling, and it's sounding very bad. So Michael said, don't call it marriage counseling, call it marriage prep. And we were doing a DVD last week, just listening to some married couples and learning from them. And the topic of that DVD was quality time. And I was driving home from Michael's house, because I live quite far away, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said these four words. He said, where is my quality time? Was that five words? Sorry, five words. And I just thought, well, Lord, I go to church every Sunday, twice every Sunday. I read my Bible every single day, usually. Lord, I give you quality time. I went to bed. The next morning, I woke up, and the first thing the Lord said to me is, where is my quality time? And I realized then that, you know, when you try and answer God, it's not because he wants information. He's not going to be like, oh, yes, sorry, I forgot. You go to church. There it is. And that's usually because he's trying to teach you something. So I realized I was probably not in the right there. But if we look at Jesus' lifestyle, it seems that he constantly took time out to spend with God. Constantly. I mean, I could probably quote another six scriptures where he actually took time out away from his disciples, away from the crowds, and he sought God. It said sometimes that he would be praying all night to God. I can't say that I've done an all-night prayer meeting for quite a while now, at least a few years. So. And it seemed that every single time we catch Jesus doing something, he seems to be solitary somewhere. He seems to take time out. And God said to me, are you willing to take time out to seek me? Because, you know, reading the Bible is a great way to seek God. But as Louise said, we can choose how deep we want to go with God and how much we want to seek him. So I set a challenge for myself a couple days ago that I would try my absolute best to absolutely seek God every single day. Every day. Because Jesus seemed to do this. And if Jesus found it important, and that was his way to worship, and that was his lifestyle, is it not at least good enough for me? But there was a second way that Jesus worshiped that I found was actually slightly more important than that, and I'll tell you why. And it's in 1 Samuel 15:22. And I know it doesn't mention Jesus here, but there's a reason why I'm reading it. So the story goes like this. There was a king, and his name was Saul. And Samuel the prophet came to Saul, and he said, God has said you need to go to the Amalekites, if I said that right, and you need to destroy all of them and destroy all their cattle and everything. So Saul went, and he attacked the Amalekites, but he spared the king, and he spared all the cattle because his men had pressured him to keep them. And Samuel came to Saul, and he said, Saul, why is this king still alive? And why is all the cattle here? God clearly told you to destroy it all. And Saul made an excuse, and he said, well, I was going to sacrifice the animals anyway in a way to worship God. And Samuel said this to him in verse 22. He said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You know that Saul actually lost his entire kingdom because of this one act of disobedience. His entire kingdom. And clearly in the scripture, God actually said to him that obedience was a higher form of worship than sacrifice. And it brings me on to my next scripture, which I've just lost in my notes here, which is Luke 22, verse 42. Because you're thinking, how does this relate to Jesus? This was, you know, 4,000 years before. And I'll tell you now. So the story is Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's in torment, and he's crying out to God, saying, God, please let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die. But he says in the scripture, he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, I always thought that, you know, Jesus never seemed to go through some hardships. But when I read the scripture, I realized that he didn't actually find it easy going to the cross. You know how many people say, oh, and Jesus thought of you when he was going to die? He was in torment. He was actually finding it really difficult. And he said to God, not my will, but yours be done. He was willing to be obedient to the actual place of death. And for me, that was the greatest form of worship that I've ever seen in my entire life, is total surrender to God. And the question I ask myself is, am I surrendered? Am I totally surrendered to God in a lifestyle of worship? Whereby if God said to me, Heather, I want you to leave your job and go do something else, would I be willing to do it? Or I want you to not have that relationship with that friend, or I want you to give up that hobby, or whatever it is. Am I willing to live this life of worship to God that says, yes, I am willing to give it all, even to the point of death? You know, I did ask to put this picture up, and the reason why is because I felt that many times we actually need to bow ourselves low before God and be willing to give our entire lives to him. And I wanted to share a testimony. You know, as I said, I grew up in quite a Christian home, and I told you that we sang lots of songs to God. But even though I sang lots of songs, I didn't understand worship the way I do now. And when I went through high school, I didn't necessarily spend much quality time with God anymore. I kind of stopped because it no longer held a huge priority. I still went to church every week, no problem. And one day I stuck a tape on, and I'm sure the three girls there will have no idea what a tape is. And they're probably like, what is that? And I was listening to a tape by a man called Nasser Siddiqui, which he's an American preacher. But anyway, the topic of the tape was Worship Drawing Nearer to God. That was his title. And something stirred in my heart that I've never had stirred before. I was 16 years old, and I had a desire to worship God. So I went into my room for about an hour. I even remember the CD I put on. It was a Michael W. Smith CD. And I started worshiping. And God did something in my heart. And he put a hunger in my heart. And he did this for 2 years. And he taught me that worship is not a slow song. Worship is not always just coming to church. Worship is an absolute lifestyle of obedience. And for 2 years, until I was 18 years old, I gave up almost every single hobby I had. And I used to sit in my classroom at school and crave to go home just so I could be with Jesus, which was quite difficult because I ended up not having many friends because I just wanted to be in my room. You know, and I'm not saying this to boast or to say I have this great relationship with God, because I was a little African girl that was a nobody. And if Jesus could meet me in my room, he could meet you as well. If he could do that for me when, you know, I was in this country where, you know, all I wanted to do was worship. And I set a challenge to you today. Are you willing to give him some of your time every day? You know, whether it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour or an hour, whatever you want, are you willing to give him that time? Because if he could come into my heart as a 16-year-old and absolutely change my life, he could do it for you as well. And if he could teach me how to obey, then, not that, you know, I still struggle now, but I understand the value of worship, and that's why it's my favorite topic, because he did it for me, and he could do it for you as well, if you're willing. I just want to read this quote, and it's by Tim Hughes. He's a worship leader. He says this: worship must be Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-led, a response to the Father about intimacy and service, and always lead to transformation. Songs of worship arise from a life of worship. So I've purposely asked Dan to do an extra song tonight because it gives us a chance to worship. And as I said, if worship was good enough for Jesus and a lifestyle of obedience, it's good enough for me. And my heart's cry is that God would meet with me like he did when I was 16 and give me that heart again. And my cry is that he would do the same for you and that he would meet with you. Can we pray? Lord, there's just so much that we don't know how to do. There's so many ways that we're not sure how to express our love for you. But Lord, we come tonight to ask you to come and be with us, Lord. I pray that in these coming weeks of worship, as we learn, Lord, that you would instill in us a heart that is so hungry for you, Lord, a heart that desires you, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us. Teach us how to worship the Father correctly and how to bless him, I pray. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come into this place today, tonight, and just touch each of our hearts in a new way where we'd find you again in our lives. That life would no longer just be coming to church on a Sunday, but that we'd learn to live a life of worship and total surrender and awe of you and obedience to you, Lord. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.